Let's take a moment to pray. Our Father, today we are a people who come before you, who need a breakthrough. Lord, I pray, O God, we need to hear from you today. Lord, I pray, O God, that we are a people who have come expecting to hear from you today. Lord, if there are any among us who are weighed down by life, by sadness, by any trials, O God, will you break through? Warm the hearts that are struggling today, O God, and open our ears, O God, and our hearts to your voice. Pray, O Lord, that we would be ready. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. Parents, be on your best behavior. The children are upstairs with us today. Why are you laughing? Anyway, it's good to share this time with you. Children, since you're up here, I want to include you in our time as much as we possibly can, pull you in with us. We have been talking about communicating. And communicating is not all about speaking and listening, but it's also about doing. And today I want to talk about communication through prioritizing relationships. And children, that means making certain relationships a priority. Now, whether you realize it or not, each of us communicate in that way. Children, have you ever been in a situation where your mother said, "I don't want you going down there. I don't want you hanging out with so-and-so. I don't want you crossing that street." And you maybe get upset and a little frustrated, and you don't know why, and maybe at the moment you don't get an explanation, but there are reasons for your parents to tell you those things. They are communicating that your life is a priority and that they are trying to keep you safe, and they are making judgment calls and decisions that ensure that to happen. Well, God does the same thing. In fact, at one point, before you were ever a gleam in your parents' eyes, God brought your parents in contact with one another. And little by little, they began to make judgment calls, priority calls, which was to make your mom and your dad making your mom and your mom making your dad a priority in their lives. And they started spending time together. And they started growing in relationship together. And at one point, they got married. And then you came along. And that happened because God started to instruct them on the priorities or reprioritizing their relationships. And what he said to them, it's time that you leave your mother and father's home and you marry and start a family of your own. And then you came along. And now you're a priority in their lives. There have been different people throughout history that we might know of. Anyone know of a David Windsor? A show of hands. Anybody know who David Windsor was? Oh, cool. All right. So, a little insight. You know, Kathy and I, we like documentaries. Since we don't have the full cable package, we have the minimal, affordable, standard package. So, we don't mind because we like PBS. We like 13. We like 21. And consider pretty much everything else, for the most part, rubbish. But we were watching, actually, a special on the Windsor family. And that is those who are king and queens of England. Now, guys, how many guys here would like to be a king? But just for a day. Boys, anybody? No one? Girls, how about queen? Queen? Ah, we got hands out there. Okay, Jen, okay. All right, calm down. Settle in. See, children, see what happens. The parents, the grown-ups get out of control. It's not just you. Everybody gets out of control. So David Windsor was of the House of Windsor, and his father passed away, and he was to be and was King Edward VIII. But his priorities were different, and he chose to abdicate. That means to ignore the throne, to walk away from it. Because his priority was on someone else, not on the nation of England, not on upholding the responsibility that was given to his family. And so in abdicating the throne, he threw the nation into a kind of a turmoil. It's real spin, you know? And it affected the nation and the royal family, and especially his brother, who would be King George VI, otherwise known as Bertie. Now, only close friends could really call him, and I'm one of them. So, you know, I can refer to him as Bertie. And what we have been doing, boys and girls, is that we have been talking about a man, a young man, a rich young ruler. And, well, we have been following his life, and we're going to go and revisit his interaction with Jesus today, as we have. So let's look at Mark again, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. And as we picked up in previous weeks, starting with verse 17, we read, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. I want to ask you, how do you think God prioritizes relationships? Well, it's with his actions. How does God let you and I know how valuable we are to him? How do they let people know in this day and age, and even this young ruler? Well, he showed up. Jesus showed up. He came from the Father, entered the world to spend time with us. Read Jesus' body language. Right? That's what we talked about last week, communicating through our body language. He spent time with this young man. What was he communicating by taking the time and stopping to speak with him? What was he communicating as he looked at him with love in his heart as well as in his eyes? You see, in Jesus coming to him, to us, he is communicating how valuable we are to him, how valuable the entire world is. That is, all the people that you and I come in contact with from day to day. And so he spends time. And he gives each of us an opportunity to realize how valuable we are to him. And he gives us an opportunity for us, in seeing him, to think about reprioritizing our relationships. He did so for the young man. He gave him an opportunity to reprioritize his life and his relationship, not only with people, but to things, like his wealth. Because we have a relationship, we can make a relationship with anything as well as anyone. And give that thing or that person the throne of our hearts. And Jesus is calling us to rethink that choice or our choices as a people. The young man felt in many ways that his investment into God's way was enough. That if eternal life, as and I often like to refer to it as e-life, were a stock, he would have felt that he bought in enough stock options to be well on his way. But that's not what we learn from his interaction with Jesus. What we learn is that a body of knowledge, an adherence to that knowledge, a following the rules or the laws or the word, was not enough. And I would even venture to say that even if he did give everything over and sell it, that too may have not been enough. And then we can stop and we can scratch our heads and say, well, where are we going with this? You see, because it is not enough, and what we will learn and have learned, and I think are learning, it is not enough unless we stop and follow. Because I think just as it is to have a body of knowledge and to adhere to the word and even give things away, unless we are following the one who is calling us, where are we going? What are we doing? And so this morning, I want to look at a few examples with you. Now, granted, these are not the most exciting scriptures that we can lay our eyes on today. But I want to say to you that in many ways, they are quite powerful. The first one is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. And we read, starting with verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. The next portion of scripture I want to look at with you is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And then the last verse I want to share with you is in Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verses 19 to 20. Verse 19, Mark chapter 1. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, again, not the most exciting things happening here in scriptures. No one's getting raised from the dead or arms growing out or crippled being healed and being able to walk after being crippled all their lives. But very powerful, because in each one of these cases, each of these individuals that Jesus was addressing at that moment were making a call. They were reprioritizing their relationships, even in James and John's case with their own father. By the way, whatever happened to honor thy father? They left their father's side to follow Jesus. They were making a call. They were reprioritizing their relationships at that moment by following him. And now we come back to the interaction with the young ruler. Because after Jesus addressing him, the disciples start flipping out. What will it take to enter into the kingdom of heaven? To have eternal life? Who can be saved? They murmured amongst themselves. And of course, Peter had to speak out, as he often does. But Lord, we left everything to follow you. We left our families. We left our friends. We left our spouses, some of them, to follow you. And in doing so, they were making their relationship with Jesus a priority. So how would this be able to happen? And Jesus addresses it with them. And in the first part of it, when he speaks about no one has left home or brother or sisters, mother or father or children and fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age was a promissory note from God. This is what I promise you. If you follow me, you're going to have more wealth than you could ever imagine. You will have more family than you can ever dream of. What I have in store for you will blow your mind. It is my promise to you, and it will be fulfilled in the age to come. You will realize it one day, because God never makes a promise to any of us that he doesn't keep. It may not happen today or tomorrow, may not happen a month or a year from now, but if God speaks to you and makes a promise to you, you could be sure he's going to fulfill it. And this was his promise to them. Oh, and of course, you'll receive these things, and yes, there will be some persecution, because you can't have one without the other. I know as Christians, we would just like it not to be so, but it is a part of the journey. And we are not greater than our master. And if he suffered persecution, so shall we. It comes with the journey. But in the end of it all, what his promise to us is, if we follow, is eternal life, or e-life. That's his desire. He went out of his way to prioritize his relationship with us, to bring us the message, to get us to realize that this is what he has in store for us. And all he asks is that we follow him. Children, it's like you saying, yes, mom, I hear you. I won't do that. Boys, yes, dad, I hear you. I won't go there. I'll listen to what you have to say. And that's all that God is asking us to do on a daily basis, is to follow his instructions, to follow his way. Now, I want to ask you this morning, do you hear him? Do you hear him? Do you hear his voice in your life? I'm not talking audibly like I'm talking to you. And for the record, I have had that only happen once in my life. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't expecting it. But I think God looked down on me and said, he's Italian. He's got a thick skull. And he's a bit deaf. So I'm going to make sure he hears my voice. Because I don't want him to miss what I have in mind for him. But other than that, I don't think that would have taken place. Because it was my great need. I felt that he went beyond the boundaries of the norm. But most times when I hear God, it is in my heart. It's that small voice that's whispering to me, instructing me. And I want to encourage you, if you are not one who has yet been able to hear that small, tiny voice, venture out. Start the dialogue with him. Oh God, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Do something small, like going down to Stop and Shop or ShopRite, you know? I'm serious. Give God an opportunity just to talk to you in small ways, because I guarantee the first time that happens to you, you're going to think it's your own voice communicating with you, because The only voice you're pretty well familiar with when you're alone is your own voice. And I want to say to you, over time, that will wear off, and you will begin to distinguish his voice from your voice. And you will realize that it was his voice that started dialogue back with you. But give him the opportunity in small things. Try it out. And see if he doesn't come to you. Think he's just going to leave you out there if you start talking to him? But take the time to listen. Because you see, I believe that if we are following him, that's what should be happening in our lives. We should be able to hear him. We should be making that time to let everything else die out. Shut the phones off, turn the TV off, and set a time aside to meet with him and listen, because he wants to speak to you. As he was speaking to that young ruler, as he was speaking to his disciples, he wants to break through into our daily lives, because there's a lot that he would like to say to us if we would just put other things aside, that we would make him a priority. Because you see the very last thing he says in this passage of Scripture, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And I want to say to you, it takes some doing in putting ourselves last and him first. That is part of the first will be last, and the last will be first. You see, when I put me number one, you know, the most important guy in my mind, first, that's when I lose out. When it's all about me and what I want to do during the course of my day and what I had in mind, I'm going to lose out. Because at that moment, I'm putting him last. On a very practical and simple level, when it becomes about me, it becomes less about God. What did John the Baptist say? I need to decrease so he can increase. It is no different for us. We need to decrease so that God can increase. And it will make, trust me, a world of difference for each of us. When we make him first and we take the back seat, watch what God will do. I dare you to do that and then listen and see what he will say to you. But quite often, the very thing that keeps that from happening is when we are in the driver's seat, when we insist on having it our way and doing life our way, because we are the priority. He is not. And what ultimately happens in some way, like the young ruler, we walk away. Momentarily, we walk away from an opportunity to engage with him, to know him better, to grow closer to him. It is when you and I say, oh God, I want to put all things behind me, make you the priority, and let you reorder my life, that he will do so. It's not like he ever said to any of them, you can never talk to your family. You can never have a relationship with mother, father, sister, brother. What he's saying is, just make me first. Consider me above all others. That's reprioritizing your life. And that's what we need to do. And this is just not a one-time thing. And it's not based on your age. It's a daily occurrence that God wants to engage with you and meet with you and speak to you. But it's hard for him to break through, as we sang today, unless we give him first place. Unless we make our relationship with him paramount. Unless there is no other name more important than his, how can this happen? It calls for us to reconsider our priorities. Not just once in a while, but to be mindful of them on a daily basis. Is his relationship a priority in your life? If it's not, I trust you, he will look at you and smile with love, and he'll say, there's something more I want you to experience. And then listen to what he has to say. Let him direct you. Let him instruct you. Let him encourage you. Let him wrap his arms around you and love you. Because there's only one thing he wants to do, and that is to pull you in closer to him than you ever been before. And I don't care how many years you've been in the faith. I don't care how much Bible you have under your belt. I don't care how much you have that you think you have down in the Word of God. We need to be following. We need to be seeking. We need to be making that relationship with him a priority. Trust me, when we do, as we sang today, you will be glad. You will be glad, because when he shows up, everything changes. The sharpness of the pain in your life dulls, and healing starts to take place. The confusion starts to clear like the fog. The sun comes out, and you realize that God is right there, has been, always will be, continues to dwell with you. And then he has something for you. He has a purpose that goes beyond our wildest dreams. But we can't hear that unless we make him a priority. Let's take a moment to be able to pray together. As Pastor Nick comes to prepare to close the service with song and a blessing, I want to ask you, when was the last time you heard his voice? Wouldn't you like to hear it again? You may be sitting there and saying, but I've not yet heard his voice. And that's okay. Because he's been waiting and wanting and desiring to speak to you. Maybe today, maybe this week, maybe this month will be the first time you begin to hear him break through to speak to you. This morning I want to give you the opportunity to begin the journey of listening for his voice. And in a moment, I'm going to pray and I'm going to step down, and I'm just wondering if there may be some here today that when I step down would like to step up, would like to come up and take a moment before the Lord and to ask him to break through. Oh God, speak to our hearts. Oh God, instruct us, because at the end of the day, we want to follow you. We want to know you. If you want to do that, make your way up as you feel, if you feel led. But listen to him. Follow him. Obey him. Oh, Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to worship together, to listen together, to fellowship, to give ourselves to one another. And Lord, at this moment, oh God, we open our hearts to you. Lord, receive the offering that we have. Our living offering, our lives. Oh Lord, we need your help. We have been following, and we want to continue to do so. Help us to reprioritize our relationship with you and to the rest of the world. Help us, O Lord. You are our only hope. Guide us, we pray. In In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening.
I had a different song in mind, but let's revisit Breakthrough. It seems to be a recurring theme. Breakthrough, break through all my doubts. Break through all my fears. Break through that I may worship you. Break through, break through all my pain. Break through all my guilt and my shame. Break through like only you can do. You are brighter than my darkest night, stronger than my toughest fight. Just one touch from you, my King, my friend, and I'll never be the same again. Break through all my doubts. Break through all my fears. Break through that I may worship you. Break through all my pain. Break through all my guilt and my shame. Break through like only you can do. You are brighter than my darkest night, stronger than my toughest fight. Just one touch from you, my King, my friend, and I'll never be the same. You are brighter than my darkest night, stronger than my toughest fight. Just one touch from you, my King, my friend, and I'll never be the same again. While people are still praying, are the people still praying? Let's be reverent in that regard. And sing together. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty. As we heard today, there's no relationship more than that of the relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. As you go in peace, and in the presence of God, seek Him, listen to Him, and let's reprioritize our lives according to His will. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and we'll see you there. God bless you. You're dismissed.